With the latest in agriculture news from across the state and the country, it's Farm City News Day. And here's your host, Sabrina Hill.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning for your agriculture news. Today is Tuesday, August the 8th. Coming up in today's show, what could the proposed immigration reform mean for agriculture? We have more on that, but first, the House Ag Committee held a Farm Bill listening session in Modesto Saturday with about 200 California farmers, ranchers, and others in the ag industry, along with many supporters of food banks and the SNAP program, showing up to let lawmakers know what they need in the next Farm Bill. Rancher Tony Toso recently watched hundreds of his ranching acres burn up in the Detweiler fire.
Just to put a little bit of brief context behind my comments, I'm going to try to keep this general because you're going to hear a lot of different stories this morning from different agricultural people that are going to be able to convey a pretty good message. So in a state that produces $47 billion worth of product, we've run from 47 to 56 billion. It's pretty imperative that California plays a major role in getting these comments out today. And research and development, specialty crops, and being able to tackle labor issues, immigration issues, and different options for crop insurance, those types of issues are going to be very important and plays a major role in what we do here in California. We greatly appreciate your attention to these specialty crop programs, being able to fund new research and development, almonds, and the different commodities that we do produce here in California. Equipment funding, or EQIP funding, is going to be very critical for us. Complying with regulation, air quality, those types of programs too. Continuation of livestock and disaster programs. We've just gone through the Detweiler fire, the LIP program, the ELAP program are going to be really critical components to helping us stave off disaster programs that help us to manage and mitigate these damages that have occurred. We recently lost 660 acres in those fires. And the ability to help our communities and our agricultural community fight through those problems is going to be very critical. We will be submitting some more extensive comments, and we appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you very much.
California FFA President Luke O'Leary also spoke at the hearing. Here are his comments.
Good morning. My name is Luke O'Leary, State President of the California FFA Association. I'm here to extend on behalf of the California FFA Association, as well as truly the national FFA organization, a reminder that agriculture industry as well as agricultural education are inherently tied. And as we consider the Farm Bill and consider the future of our industry, we must constantly consider those students who are beginning to join college and careers in the agricultural industry. Our association and our organization impacts students' lives positively by developing their potential for premier leadership and personal success, or personal growth, as well as career success. And we do this so that we can grow leaders who will then build communities and strengthen the agricultural industry. Our organization across the nation has grown tremendously over the years, now reaching 650,000 students across the country. And just in the past year, our association has grown nearly 4,000 students. It's now having a total of 87,000 members in the state of California. We're hopeful about the future of agricultural education because of the response we've seen for students as they've experienced rigorous classroom instruction, as well as hands-on relevant projects as they put what they learned in the classroom into practice in their supervised agricultural experience projects, and then get to get tangible relationships with other students from across the country through the FFA and the leadership development they experience there. We're grateful for the relationship and cooperation we have with legislators in our own state as well as across the nation so that we can continue to promote agricultural education in our industry. Some specific bills that have come up recently in our state of securing more funding for agricultural education as well as nationwide, as well as certain bills that in our capital right now that are handling with tax exemptions for students' projects for the first $5,000 they earn annually are very important bills to consider perhaps including in pieces of the Farm Bill that will support the future of these students who are pursuing careers in the agricultural industry. So we thank you for your time, and we thank you for the constant consideration of the hopefulness of our students who are the future of our industry. Thank you.
We have more from O'Leary and others in the session later on in this show. We go now to Brian German.
A concerning trend seems to be continuing this year as many farming operations are reporting a scarce amount of labor. AgTech innovations are making some headway in addressing the need for labor, but more development is still needed. Executive Director of the Fresno County Farm Bureau, Ryan Jacobson, explained why this year is particularly difficult for growers to find enough labor.
This year is shaped up to be very tight. It actually started very early, a lot earlier than from a historic perspective. Growers during the asparagus and planting season that we're seeing some very tight situations going back in April and May. It's really only exacerbated since then, and the real pinch point is going to be coming up here in just a matter of days and weeks. So it's definitely looking like it's been a very tight labor supply. Not that it was unexpected, but with the way that the weather has happened this year and everything else, it's really going to condense this later season, and we're going to see some real pressure.
Growers are also encouraged to take the California Agricultural Labor Availability Survey, available through Wednesday, August 9th. I'm Brian German for AgNet West.
This is Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I'm your host, Sabrina Hill. We will be back in just a moment with more agriculture news.
It's time to rethink what you know about clean American propane and what it can do for your operation. Want efficient, reliable power independent of the grid? Propane can do that. Power for EPA-compliant engines without all the extra fluids and filters? Propane can do that. Eliminate fuel theft. Lower hourly fuel costs. Reduce downtime. Propane can do all of that. Discover all the things propane can do on your farm at propanecandothat.com.
Attention, California citrus growers, production managers, industry professionals. The 26th annual Citrus Expo in Fort Myers, Florida is proud to host U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Sunny Perdue, on August 16th, the first day of the show. Make plans now to attend the 26th annual Citrus Expo on August 16th and 17th for an opportunity to mingle with Secretary Perdue on the trade show floor. The latest in citrus research and data will also be presented at over a dozen seminars. Don't wait. Pre-register now at citrusexpo.net.
Okay, Mike is calling from Davenport. Go ahead, Mike. You're on Soil Talk.
The engine isn't performing like it should, and I'm wondering what's going on.
All right, couple of questions, Mike. Do you have high porosity in aggregates? Is there a porous medium for gas exchange?
I don't know.
Well, hey, look, Mike, if you want performance, you got to find out if it's good under the hood, huh?
Okay, how?
Stop by your local USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service office today, Mike. They can help you supercharge your soil and get that engine cranking it out for you.
Hey, we're out of time, Mike. Hey, thanks for your call. Gotta go. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Soil Talk.
Find out what you can do to maximize your farm's production engine. It's soil. Through soil health management systems, you can lower input costs, increase yields, and drought protect your farm. Stop by your local Natural Resources Conservation Service office today. Brought to you by NRCS and this radio station.
This is Farm City Newsday. We'll have more of the day's agriculture news in just a moment.
The California Association of Food Banks Farm-to-Family Program helps growers and packers recoup costs for products that may otherwise go unused. The program takes secondary products or excess fruits and vegetables from the field to your local food bank and beyond. Many growers and packers receive reimbursement for picking and pack-out costs in addition to receiving a California state tax credit. Join the more than 100 growers and packers who already participate in Farm-to-Family. Visit cafoodbanks.org to learn more. That's cafoodbanks.org. Farm to family. Good for families, good for farmers.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's Taylor Hillman.
Laurel wilt is a disease that quickly kills trees and has caused a significant amount of damage to the avocado industry in Florida. The California Avocado Commission, UC Cooperative Extension, and the California Avocado Society brought laurel wilt experts from Florida to California for the last installment of the 2017 Avocado Growers Seminar Series. The disease is not in California yet, but California Avocado Commission Research Program Director Tim Spann said we need to keep an eye on the disease and the vectors movement.
currently it's in East Texas. That's as far west as we know that it is, but we need to be keeping our eye on it. It didn't get to East Texas naturally. It hitched a ride. One of our growers a while back when we were talking about polyphagous shothole borer told me, you know, they don't fly very well, but they sure can drive. And the same applies for the red bay ambrosia beetle and laurel wilt. That thing can hop on the interstates and move across the country in a heartbeat.
Span added that there are some other things California can do to be prepared.
You know, making sure we're doing whatever we can in terms of talking to the state and making sure that our border control points for ag inspections are in place and well-funded. And we need to be following what they're doing in Florida so that we have that knowledge and those tools ready and at hand for not if, but when it shows up here in California.
Stay with AgNet West for more about laurel wilt. I'm Taylor Hillman for AgNet West Radio Network.
The sponsor of an immigration bill suspected to reduce the agriculture labor force in the U.S. says his legislation will not impact temporary workers, which are often used in agricultural production. Georgia Republican Senator David Perdue wrote colleagues last week after concerns were raised about how the bill would impact farm workers. Referring to comments by Senate Republican Lindsey Graham that the proposal would hurt his state's agriculture and tourism industries, Perdue said, what we're focused on in this bill is permanent legal immigration, green cards only, that according to the Hagstrom Report. Because of that, Senator Perdue says, the Reforming American Immigration for Strong Economy, or RAISE Act, would not affect programs that bring farm workers into the United States on a temporary basis. Global food prices reached a three-year high in July, according to the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization. The FAO food price index in July averaged 179.1 points in July 2017. That's up 2.3% from June, and the third successive month of increases.
Well, in today's livestock news, last Friday, the International Longshore and Warehouse Union announced that its members have approved a three-year labor contract extension covering longshoremen at 29 U.S. West Coast ports. And according to a story from Joe Sheely, this is an important development for red meat exports.
It's been about 2.5 years since stalled labor negotiations created major congestion on the West Coast ports. But red meat exporters remember that time all too well. That's why a three-year labor contract extension announced on Friday comes as very good news for the U.S. beef, pork, and lamb industries. U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Philip Tsang has more details in this USMEF report.
Well, I think it's not only good news for exporters, but it's very big news for the importers that we deal with around the world, especially in Asia and North Asia. The last time this happened a few years ago, it took us almost a year to recover from this because it calls into question our reliability. And I think, as everyone knows, we face plenty of headwinds these days, and this is just one deal that we don't want to have to contend with at this point in time. So it's encouraging news that this contract is solidified.
Tsang explains why the port congestion in 2014 and 2015 was especially problematic for exporters shipping chilled beef and pork to Asian markets.
Well, it's critical because by the time you take a chilled product from a Midwest plant, you get it to the West Coast, then get it loaded on the water, and then by the time it clears customs, if it's pork, for example, that has a little shorter shelf life than beef, this is huge as far as its impact because it can only probably be in commerce 20 days at max. And then it's going to run out of shelf life. So if you're a retailer in these markets, especially Japan, Korea, Taiwan, Hong Kong, any of these markets, anything that would prolong this and delay this would be catastrophic for us because there's this big backup of product that's in the United States that wants to go. There's product that's been chilled that's going to have to be frozen. And, of course, all this costs dollars. So the fact that the industry, what we're always trying to do is see how we can reduce costs to be more competitive. So anything like this, like I say, that would add to our costs is debilitating in the competitive world that we live in.
For more information, please visit usmef.org. For the U.S. Meat Export Federation, I'm Joe Sheely.
Thanks, Joe. In other news, President Trump is expected to soon issue a memorandum on China's intellectual property and trade practices. That memo would prompt an investigation by the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative into these trade practices and could result in retaliation from China. According to reports, China has readied a retaliatory response that includes measures against sectors of U.S. agriculture. The National Pork Producers Council continues to urge the administration to maintain and expand export opportunities that are critical to the U.S. pork industry. And MPPC also wants to remind folks its Fall Legislative Action Conference is coming up in Washington, D.C. It'll be held September 13th through 14th. This biannual fly-in draws from about 125 pork producers from around the country each year. Learn more at nppc.org. I'm Randall Wiseman for Agnet West. AgriView with Everett Greiner is next.
I mention this frequently because it's in the news quite often. Food waste. A new study recently put something stunning in volume of food wasted. Hold on to your hat now. $218 billion worth every year. That comes to something just under 3 billion pounds. And there's another 20 billion pounds of fruits and vegetables left on the trees, or in the fields, or plowed under. It isn't just household waste. It's not just homes that discard perfectly good food. It's manufacturers, grocery stores, restaurants, and home kitchens. And consider the volume not for people, but portions that could be used to feed animals. There's a system for disposing of this food, but most of it goes directly into landfills. Maybe one day a solution will be found. Well, that's AgriView for today. Everett Greiner, Agnet West.
Well, as we told you at the beginning of the show, the House Agriculture Committee held a Farm Bill listening session in Modesto. More than 200 people were in attendance at the listening session. This was an opportunity for lawmakers to hear from California farmers and ranchers and others in the ag industry, as well as many people representing food banks, with what they want to see in the next Farm Bill. We have for you now several of their comments.
Hi, I'm Tony Shear. I'm president of the California Aquaculture Association, and I'm here on behalf of our association and the National Aquaculture Association to encourage you, respectfully request, that aquaculture be included in the Farm Bill as a specialty crop. This designation would provide aquatic farmers with access to a number of critical USDA programs that would help thousands of aquaculture producers survive when disaster strikes and would improve their marketing and research capacity. California aquaculture, I represent over 100 farmers and 1,000 jobs that produce a wide variety of species, shellfish and fish, various species of fish, including sturgeon. You might be surprised that California is one of the global centers of caviar and sturgeon meat production, which was developed at the University of California at Davis, was absolutely crucial to its development. Some people may think that aquaculture is a strange specialty crop, but we probably rank in the top 10 of California smaller crops. And we produce about $150 to $200 million worth of product, depending on how you count the values and at what level. So we're a substantial industry. We would like to be a much bigger industry if we had access to the Pacific Ocean. We would also encourage the committee to support a new aquaculture, National Aquaculture Act, which is in development to replace the one that was passed in 1980, which is sadly out of date. As a matter of fact, in California and in federal waters, there is almost no practical means of a farmer getting a permit to farm fish in our very largest aquatic resource, the Pacific Ocean. So I hope that you will follow that and look at passage of that bill.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Frank Coelho. I am a third-generation dairy farmer in the state of California. I've been organic for 20 years, and my question today is, what are you going to do about integrity of the organic dairy industry? Enforcement of the pasture rule is set by the ONSB and has been implemented nationwide, and the integrity of organic farming has been damaged, hurting organic dairy farmers. Organic state laws are not in line with the NOSB and are allowing large corporate organic dairy farms in other states to exist without following federal pastoral rules and to jeopardize the federal rule. I understand that state taxes accrued by organic dairies is large, which may be the enforcement, why the enforcement is not non-existent. But states too must be held accountable, and the large organic dairies must comply with federal rule. All organic dairies must be held equally to the same standard and rules, irregardless of certifiers, state or private. And those certifiers and inspectors must be held accountable to enforce the rules. I support the OFRF as long as their research foundation works to support the implementation of federal pasture rules set forth by the NOSB. Thank you for your time. May I add, I praise the FFA and encourage the committee to keep the family farm alive. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, so we'll have Gene Brandy, and following that, Shanti Prasad. Gene?
Good morning. Hi, I'm Gene Brandy. I'm a beekeeper from down the road in Los Banos, and I'm also the president of the American Beekeeping Federation. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today to listen to our concerns for the beekeeping industry in the USA. Our honeybees are not as healthy as they used to be. For us old timers that started keeping bees back in the 70s, we remember the good old days, and we just don't have that anymore. Our winter and annual losses are remaining at very high levels at this time. And there's been some recent survey results from USDA NAS indicate the nation's honeybee colony numbers are increasing slightly, but this is due to the hard work and dedication of the nation's beekeepers. Varroa mites, exposure to certain pesticides, inadequate nutrition, and certain diseases continue to take their toll on the nation's honeybees. We believe it is important that USDA and all federal agencies embrace the framework of the National Strategy to Promote the Health of Honeybees and Other Pollinators. And we also believe that honeybees need to be specifically mentioned in the Farm Bill as allowed on all USDA conservation program lands. The U.S. Forest Service, BLM, and other federal agencies allow apiaries on some of their lands, and we believe that honeybees need access to clean, uncontaminated forage, and there are opportunities on federal lands that are currently not being utilized, and we'd certainly like to see that explored and expanded. The ABF also believes that there should be an increase in the cap on CRP acres, and that the cap be raised to at least 40 million acres, and this would greatly benefit honeybees and other pollinators. Seed mixtures need to be reformulated in many cases to improve the value to pollinators while significantly reducing the costs. ELAP, NAP, and federal crop insurance are helpful programs that provide a safety net for beekeepers and should be continued. And also, there's a new ARS facility, research facility at UC Davis that's ready to go, but it's not yet staffed. So we'd love to see that staffed so that those folks can get to work on behalf of the bee industry. Thank you.
Once again, listening to comments from the Farm Bill listening session that was held Saturday in Modesto. This is Farm City Newsday by AgNet West, and we will be back in just a moment with more agriculture news.
It's time to rethink what you know about clean American propane and what it can do for your operation. Want efficient, reliable power independent of the grid? Propane can do that. Power for EPA-compliant engines without all the extra fluids and filters. Propane can do that. Eliminate fuel theft. Lower hourly fuel costs. Reduce downtime. Propane can do all of that. Discover all the things propane can do on your farm at propanecandothat.com.
Okay, Mike is calling from Davenport. Go ahead, Mike. You're on Soil Talk.
The engine isn't performing like it should, and I'm wondering what's going on.
All right, couple of questions, Mike. Do you have high porosity in aggregates? Is there a porous medium for gas exchange?
I don't know.
Well, hey, look, Mike, if you want performance, you got to find out if it's good under the hood, huh?
Okay, how?
Stop by your local USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service office today, Mike. They can help you supercharge your soil and get that engine cranking it out for you.
Hey, we're out of time, Mike. Hey, thanks for your call. Gotta go. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Soil Talk.
Find out what you can do to maximize your farm's production engine. It's soil. Through soil health management systems, you can lower input costs, increase yields, and drought protect your farm. Stop by your local Natural Resources Conservation Service office today. Brought to you by NRCS and this radio station.
The California Association of Food Banks Farm to Family Program helps growers and packers recoup costs for products that may otherwise go unused. The program takes secondary products or excess fruits and vegetables from the field to your local food bank and beyond. Many growers and packers receive reimbursement for picking and pack-out costs in addition to receiving a California state tax credit. Join the more than 100 growers and packers who already participate in Farm to Family. Visit cafoodbanks.org to learn more. That's cafoodbanks.org. Farm to Family. Good for families, good for farmers.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. We are continuing our coverage of the Farm Bill listening session that was held Saturday in Modesto, an opportunity for lawmakers to hear from California farmers, ranchers, and others in the ag industry, as well as many people from food banks, about what needs to be in the next Farm Bill. Luke O'Leary is the California FFA president. He spoke at the session, and we also got to talk with him afterwards and hear more about what his comments were. Here is California FFA president Luke O'Leary with our Taylor Hillman.
Now, my name is Luke O'Leary, and I'm the state president of the California FFA Association.
So you just got your chance to get up there and talk at the California Farm Bill listening session. What was your goal? What were you going for?
So our state officer team is here today simply to talk about the future of the agriculture industry, which are the students in our agricultural education programs. We're hopeful that we can continue to work cooperatively with all legislators in our state and across the nation to constantly be thinking of the students that are going to be joining the workforce and going to be working with the support of the Farm Bill.
Is a continuing problem with how the agriculture industry is getting older. Without supporting these programs, you're never going to help fix that.
Sure. Yeah, the average age of the farmer today is near 60, and that's a constant problem in our industry of having to pursue new progressive techniques, and normally that's going to come from a younger generation who has not been in the industry so long and are thinking of new creative ways to pursue a more effective and efficient production, and that's going to come from our students of where they're gaining those skills in the classroom and from projects where they're able to get a jump start on their careers in the industry while they're still in high school.
And you've seen firsthand with your fellow officers and other people that are in FFA, you know, how important is FFA to some of the kids who learn valuable leadership skills and responsibility, and not just ag stuff, just life stuff?
Yeah, it's incredibly important. We've gone on multiple industry tours just this past year as a state officer team, and we've been able to meet with from large-scale conventional production places in the Central Valley to farming software companies in the San Francisco city. And to be able to meet with both of those and see that while an ag-based education is completely vital to the roles there, it's also these soft skills and these leadership development that the students are experiencing that is really going to take them far once they get into that workplace of understanding how to work well with others, understanding how to speak well, how to just deliver a message that we all believe in as students in agricultural education and in the FFA, supporting the future of our industry.
And you get to see it firsthand, but I think there's misconceptions with kids thinking about agriculture that aren't familiar with agriculture. It's just digging in dirt.
Definitely.
But with your guys' programs and stuff, I mean, there is so much more to agriculture than that.
Yeah, there's a lot more. And that's something that as you go through the FFA in high school, you begin to realize more and more. I come from San Luis Obispo, California, which isn't the most rural area. There's definitely rural around, and I live in more of the outskirts of town, so I was able to have a few acres and have my own different projects that required that land. But there's plenty of students in my home chapter as well as across the state that come from even more urban areas where they're able to see that the agriculture industry isn't always what we first think of being that farmer on a tractor. And while that is a large percentage of our industry and definitely vital to what our industry is all about, there's plenty of other parts from vertical farming in urban areas and rooftop gardens, as well as the more communication side or the policy side of those in the offices working to support the farmers out in the fields.
So your main focus here today was to let them know that funding for FFA is vitally important in all aspects.
Completely, yeah. There's constantly going to be that voice needed to say, we're still here and we still need that funding because look at what it's doing. And we're able to do that. We're able to not just talk that talk, but really show the evidence that our students, the 87,000 students in California that are a part of agricultural education, they're receiving these tangible skills that are going to impact their lives by setting them up for both college and career readiness right out of high school.
Young and beginning farmers will soon have access to help and advice on running their businesses. Gary Crawford has more.
In Des Moines, Iowa, Saturday, another initiative to help young people as they try to start farm businesses. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue telling the Iowa Ag Summit that young farmers face challenges.
They need land, they need equipment, they need access to capital, and they need someone to turn to with their questions.
And on that score, Perdue signed a memorandum of understanding with a nonprofit group called SCORE, the Service Corps of Retired Executives, people who mentor small business owners in good business practices.
SCORE has a 50-year track record of helping small businesses thrive and expand and grow, and now it's expanding its nationwide network of 11,000 mentors further into agriculture, where you know better than I do, agriculture is a business.
Perdue urged farmers who are at the end of their farming careers to sign up for SCORE when the opportunity comes up. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue's road trip stopped off in Wisconsin, where he met with farmers and talked about dairy issues ahead of the 2018 Farm Bill. Stephanie Ho reports.
Secretary Sonny Perdue addressed one issue that is near and dear to the hearts of many farmers in Wisconsin.
We know that while the 14 Farm Bill made a lot of progress, there were a couple of sectors that probably did not fare as well under the 14 Farm Bill. Unfortunately, Wisconsin dairy was one of those.
He says the Dairy Margin Protection Program was not as successful as had been hoped.
We've got an issue in that area. How do we create a program in the 18 Farm Bill that provides a safety net where it does not allow farmers to farm for the program?
And now, he adds, there are several issues under consideration.
Whether should milk be under the livestock area or not, put it out as a commodity, let it be insurable. Those are some of the things we're listening to.
Secretary Perdue is on a five-state RV trip to meet with farmers and hear their concerns ahead of the 2018 Farm Bill. This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
For more on any of the stories you've heard here this morning, visit our website at agnetwest.com. You can also find us on Twitter at agnetwest or myself at Sabrina W. Hill. This has been Farm City News Day by Agnet West, and I am your host, Sabrina Hill. Have a wonderful day.